We're going to start the show this morning by talking about the situation of short-term letting in this country. Over the last number of years, it must be 5, maybe even 6 years ago now, that the way in which short-term holiday lets were to be registered was being talked about in terms of planning, in terms of a register, in terms of counting the numbers of them, and where they would be allowed and not allowed. Well, the introduction of the register for Airbnbs and other short-term lets has again been delayed. In April of last year, the government approved the Short-Term Letting and Tourism Bill General Scheme. Under this scheme, the short-term letting register accommodation, hosts offering 21 nights or fewer must register their properties with Fáilte Ireland. The restrictions only apply to towns with populations over 20,000, which would include Tralee, following a U-turn on the issue in February. The register was due to come into effect from May 20th, 6 days' time. However, the Minister for Housing and the Minister for Enterprise and Tourism announced yesterday that the short-term let register has been delayed and will be moving to coming into effect from December 1st of 2026, with all operators having a legal obligation to register by the 31st of December. And with regards to that, there's also an awaiting, alongside that registration process on Fáilte Ireland, of clear indications and policy from the Department of Housing about the planning around short-term letting and who will have to apply for what and who will be entitled to get it and who won't be getting it. But with me on the line to talk about this is Noel Casey, who's Vice Chair of the Irish Self-Catering Federation. She's of Knockcarrig House Self-Catering Accommodation in Killarney, and also Independent Councillor Brendan Cronin, who has raised several motions on this down through the years and has commented on it as well, has been critical of the government's approach to it. Good morning to both of you, and thanks very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Noel, if I can start with you on this one, is there relief amongst your members about this decision?
Good morning, Gerry. Good morning, Brendan. Well, I think it's a good thing that they've decided to delay it till December, because it gives us as an organisation time to go in to discuss the planning situation as regards tying it to the register. We would like to see it decoupled, because you need the register really to collect data to see where short-term rentals are across the country. At the moment, they're only data scraping online travel agents, and we don't feel that the data that's collected that way is sufficient enough. We're saying bring in the register, but decouple planning from it for the moment, and let us as an organisation go in and talk to the government about the whole issue of planning.
That's what you're looking for from this. But from the point of view, what happens this summer now? The decks are cleared. You don't have to have a registration number. You can continue on with your bookings. You're not breaking any rule or regulation.
Yes, no, for this, there's a relief definitely with our members that we can continue on with our businesses for this particular tour season.
Okay, all right. Brendan Cronin, what's your view on this latest, I suppose, delay? There's been many of them in the long-running saga of short-term letting, the attempt to register them.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Noel, and to your listeners as well. They've kicked this to touch repeatedly, but they don't seem like, our government don't seem to have like sat down and negotiated like with Noel and her organisation and sort out the regulation, sort out the planning. So we're right. You have a kind of a reprieve, so to speak, now, so that people can work away. Yes, and it has been put back to the December the 1st. I think that's the date they have said now. But it obviously kind of shows that there's either political disagreement or they can't sort out the regulations. They just don't seem to be able to make headway. And you have this element of uncertainty because, like anyone that, like you mentioned there, how long is it going on at the introduction? And it is 2019, the regulations came in, the legislation came in. But it was really when the letter started to go out from, we'll say, Kerry County Council, 2021 and onwards, that we began to realise and people began to realise how serious the impact of this was and that the impact it could have, particularly in a major tourist destination like Kerry, Killarney, and really and truly the whole Wild Atlantic Way. This has tremendous serious impact and can have a tremendous serious impact on the whole west of Ireland. And we just don't seem to be able to make headway and make and sit down with people that are in the business. And like Noel said, we're getting dribs and drabs of information. The planning guidelines have not set out, because what stands at the moment is what was originally sent out by the government. They gave instructions, if you applied for planning permission to Kerry County Council to regulate, we'll say, under the short-term list, the indications were that you...
More often than not, you wouldn't be getting it. That's it.
You were told... planners told me this themselves. They were more or less, the guidelines were to refuse. And, we still haven't moved on for that. We have uncertainty, or we have actually no clarity regarding the planning, which Noel referenced there, and who has to apply, what are the ground rules in it. No data, nothing whatsoever in that either. And that's a shame that it's being protracted and dragged on, that the people involved, the people who are working and getting their income from short-term rent across this county and country, that they don't sit down and discuss in a proper fashion.
But Brendan, they are discussing. There's a Rochtas Committee hearings in relation to this. The Self-Catering Federation and others have been brought in relation to that. The providers themselves, be it Bookings.com or Expedia or Airbnb, have been brought in. They've all given their input into this. We've heard what Noel has said there in relation to wanting to decouple it and the suggestion that, look, start with a register and then... move on to the planning situation once you know how many are out there and where they are. We've had this 20,000 population limit brought in as well, but it still seems to be beyond the government to get this up and running, shall we say, or to decouple the two. They're not going to do it, are they?
Well, that is the question that needs to be put to our government ministers. What is the position? Why can they not progress and make educated, proper assessed decisions and progress this and progress it in a proper fashion? And I totally agree with the position that Noel came and made a massive presentation to Kerry County Council, to the elected members recently, earlier this year. And get the register up and running, get to see the numbers where and the situation on the ground, and then progress and sit down and discuss planning and what the rules and regulations are. But like you said, there's a whole lot of information has been brought to the table, but no decision made, no proper decision, no progress. That's where we're at the moment.
Do you think there's possibly disagreement going on in the background in relation to this? Is that feeding into uncertainty for the sector?
Without having an insight, Jerry, and looking from the outside in, like we do, as the saying goes, politically it seems that there's unrest, and serious unrest, that they can't find down or make concrete decisions. That would be the indicator. But we're not privy to cabinet meetings, we're not privy to positions. It's only kind of guesswork, but it seems that way, and that needs to kind of end, and we need to set this up properly and in a fair way, a balanced way, because it's hugely important for the tourism business in this county, for family incomes in this county, and it's been kind of messed around now for long enough. There needs to be a proper way forward.
Okay, Noel, what do you think is going to happen in December, and will your members, I suppose, comply with the regulation to sign up to Fáilte Ireland, or is it hard to say until we see what happens with the housing regulation, the planning regulations, and all of this? We're told by the department yesterday they're expected shortly. I think I've been hearing that for the last year and a half.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Jerry. I mean, again, you're flying blind. We don't actually know what's going to be on the table on the 1st of December. We would like to say that all our members will be able to register. But if they have a little box that you have to tick to say that you're planning compliant, a large majority of our members won't be able to tick that box, which is why we're saying to decouple it. And, this season, as I said to you earlier, it's a relief that we can go, that we are able to go forward and take our bookings. But I'm a bit worried about next year's season, just with the situation with the war and the jet fuel prices. Will people, particularly Americans, be able to, will they pay maybe double the price for their airline tickets over to Ireland? And will we be shooting ourselves in the foot by suddenly saying, cutting out a pile of self-catering accommodation by insisting that people tick a box to say that they're planning compliant? Whereas why not just get everybody in the register, see where we are, just as we explained earlier, and then tackle the issue of planning. And you have to remember, Ireland is the only country in the EU that is requiring planning to be tied to this. No other country is doing that. So it's, you know, it's a self-inflicted government option.
Yeah, and that's the other part of it, the other uncertainty that's added to it, which will affect things. And well, if there's certainty for this summer, that's the underlying problem, isn't there? For next year, there is next no certainty year. As things stand at the moment.
Exactly. And you know, it's you might say to yourself, "Oh, December, it won't be long coming." As well, I mean, no. We're into May now, and we have to plan a lot of our guests would like to book in advance. And, you know, if there's uncertainty, they might dither. If they hear, oh, well, Ireland are bringing in new regulations, we don't know if, you know, if we book accommodation, would we be able to stay? So, again, the uncertainty is there and it doesn't help the situation.
OK, stay with me on the line. I just want to ask one or two more things on this. We've got Brendan Cronin, Councillor Brendan Cronin, and Noel Casey with us on the line. If you have a view on it, get in touch with us. We'll have more after we take these. Yeah, keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us. We're talking about the issue of short-term letting register to be set up now in December the 1st and questions over planning regulations about people who rent short-term. We've got Noel Casey, who is Vice Chair of the Irish Self-Catering Federation, with us on the line, and Independent Councillor Brendan Cronin. And look, Brendan, I want to put a point to you on the wider context of this. And a Tralee caller gets in touch and says the government is failing to take on the people who have the great advantage of owning property that they can afford to rent out short term. This register is meant to get more property owners to shift from short term lets to long term lets, to make more long term rental properties available. This doesn't change my mind that this government is on the side of landlords and property owners and not the people whose lives have been stunted and crushed by the housing crisis. What's your response to that argument?
Well, first and foremost, I suppose, and there's a certain element in government, well, in politics and in society, they believe that if somebody went away and borrowed and to buy a house or maybe inherited a house and borrowed to do it up, that you're a target. And there's no question or doubt that, and I've said this before at council meetings, that the owners and operators of short-term lets have been targeted and scapegoated by both political parties and certain elements of the general public. It's a huge investment to run, to operate, and it has made up part of the family income in many, many instances across this county for years. And there, you are entitled to go and purchase a house. And if you work hard enough and you pay for it, and you'll rent it out, or you have to do up one. That is not a crime. It's known as getting up early in the morning and working very hard for it. You know,
it's almost like an ideological side of it, and you could break it down along those lines to say, look, I paid for it, I bought it, I'm paying for it, I have done this. I'm entitled. The government cannot tell me what to do with my own property. But then the other side of it is, where does the common good come into things? Whereby you have...
Sorry, Jerry.
Brendan, carry on. Yeah,
I know where you're coming from. Because there has been, all along through this debate, this idea, and I don't know where it is coming from, that there are, we said the government's turning the screws, let's be blunt about it, on the short-term people who are providing on short-term accommodation and make life difficult for them, that they will automatically go into long-term renting.
Yeah, 12,000 was the number that was put together, and they've been accused of doing it in the back of an envelope. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But there was going to be 12,000 to 14,000 instant switches from short-term to long-term. That was the idea from the departments.
I can assure you, and I've been an awful lot of people met over the last 4 or 5 years in this line of the do in this business, and to a person, they will not do that. They will keep it for a family member, they will sell it off, and like an example of that is we saw the rental rules were changed in March, and the one thing I saw in the last 6 months and the lead into it, and every public representative out there has seen it, a mass exodus of small landlords just selling off the houses, won't go, what they tell me is too much too much hassle, too much difficulty, and you're being scapegoated and you're being targeted. And there are, like, there are, we say, political parties who view, if you have a second property, 'tis how can we get it off, or how can we tax you, or how can we screw you? You're deemed to be a target. And I reject that completely. If someone has worked all their lives, if you've borrowed and you have invested in what is a part of your family business, and what it is making up part of your yearly family income, you have every right to do so. That's my view.
Okay, all right. Noel, look, you're obviously awaiting with bated breath, and imagine, the regulations, the planning indications and the guidelines on that. And from then on, your members will know a little bit, at least a little bit more about what's happening for 2026. I'd imagine the quicker that happens, the better.
Oh, yes, indeed. The sooner we can get in there and do more discussions on the whole issue of the planning, the better. And, you know, if the government had said that they're planning to bring it out soon, we're going to take them at their word that we will be brought in soon for a meeting with the relevant departments.
Okay. Brendan Corner, one final point for you, just on it's a related issue, because it's another kind of an idea to try and solve the rental crisis and the housing crisis. This idea of modular homes or cabins in back gardens. In the last 24 hours, news has come true on this, that Revenue have confirmed that homeowners who build modular homes in their back garden will be liable to pay a separate local property tax on that home. That confirmation follows a query put to Revenue by the Chief Executive of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers on this. This was meant to be a quick, fast solution to provide extra homes. There's been lots of questions about it, but no property tax is into the fore. Is that going to kill it stone dead, or what do you make of it?
Sure. Again, right. I saw that article actually as well, Jerry, that it would be liable for LPT. But sure, we have nothing concrete. We're getting headlines and we're getting news snippets, and the actual planning legislation or detail governing this has not been made available to us as elected members anyway. We're getting snippets from conferences and stuff like that that's going on where ministers are attending, but no concrete information. Right. The overview of it, that obviously would have an impact, but there are a lot of people, and over the last 12, 18 months, because of the housing crisis, have asked me, and I know other members as well, know what is the position about adding on to putting one at the back of the house for the family or for one of the children, and what's the position. And like what we're saying is what we're hearing from government is that legislation is supposed to come out and clarify, but we haven't got that yet. And I don't know, the local, they're talking about making a financial killing before they even printed the legislation and give us a look at it. Do you know, with the LPT, wouldn't it be more appropriate till we get the detail of what they're proposing, how it is going to operate, and let's progress from there.
Okay, all right, Brendan, listen, we're going to leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us in the programme this morning. It's Brendan Cronin, Independent Councillor in Kerry County Council, and Noel Casey of the Irish Self-Catering Federation, responding to that change announced around about this time yesterday that the short-term let registration due to come in on May 20th has now been pushed back to the 1st of December. If you have a view on that wider debate, if you're a renter desperate to get your own home or to buy your own home or find somewhere to rent at an affordable rate, then get in touch with us on the programme. It seems like there's more to run on that one. And that story on the modular units, not that it was going to be, and the government were at pains to say, look, this isn't the solution to fix the housing crisis. It's one of many things we have to do to change, to try and provide some extra houses, some extra rental properties. How they didn't confirm that with Revenue before they launched this or announced this, I don't know. Does it spark or speak to a government that's casting around for idea after idea after idea and throwing it out there to try and solve an intractable housing crisis? I don't know, but it certainly isn't going to enthuse anyone who was thinking about these cabins to say, well, hold on a second, I'm building this cabin, it's going to cost me a lot of money perhaps, maybe I'll have someone living on it, and then they'll have to pay property tax on top of that. Not easy, not regulation free, that's for sure, and adding to the expense of the whole thing. So you wonder where the idea is now. If you have an opinion on that side of it, get in touch with us in the programme.